It is so funny.
That's hilarious.
And she goes on and on about.
It's like Spinal Tap.
We'll call the agricultural pool meeting to order. Starting out with some comments, I want to thank you all for doing this on a Friday. As you can see, we have a couple empty seats. Mr. Vandenheuvel's moving cattle today. So as I think of June 1, Mr. Vandenheuvel won't have a dairy. Secondly, Nathan is with contacts up in the Central Valley. Mr. Petersma may be walking in any moment, but I want to thank you all for being here. Tracy had some major hearings yesterday, and so I rearranged the meeting, and so that worked out well. She'll also be absent during very, very important meetings in the future, but we'll work around
those. She's about to be fired.
So with that, we have a consent calendar. You've all received your packets in the mail. Are there any questions or comments before I call for a vote?
Chair Feenstra, would you like to indicate the reorder of the agenda before we go into the consent?
Yeah, that would be a good idea, wouldn't it? We're going to do the consent calendar. We're going to do the proposed budget, and then we're going to adjourn to closed door. And we'll call back to order and start right out the gate on preemptive. So that's the order, and we'll follow it through. Tracy and staff have ordered us some sandwiches or something to eat after the meeting.
Hey.
Jeff only eats cookies. That's all he eats is cookies. So with that, is that any
yes,
other?
Yes, thank you.
Any other changes, Tracy? No, okay. With that, any questions or comments on the consent calendar? Hearing and a motion is in order to approve.
Motion approved.
Ron LeBruchere made the motion. Do I have a support?
Second that motion, Jeff Pearson.
All in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed, same side, carried. Joe, welcome to the dais. The Water Master Fiscal Year 2018-2019 proposed budget. We're anxious to hear it. And Joe, go ahead. Joe, when you finish, if you can open your book even further and see if you can find that remaining balance of our personal account. If you have it with you, if you don't, you can report later.
No, I have that.
Thank you. Beautiful. Let's go with your budget.
All right. This is the fiscal year 2018-2019 proposed budget. Just so that everyone is aware, this presentation has been provided to the appropriative pool and the non-agricultural pool. It was provided to them yesterday. Their recommendation was to approve the budget as it stands. Both pools approved it unanimously. When we talk about developing a water master budget, there are a listing of different meetings and activities that take place. We have our business plan and timeline. That is presented twice a year in April and in October. If you recall, last month, Peter had provided the business plan and timeline that gives a water master and the pools and the parties a good understanding of what water master is trying to accomplish and the activities looking forward. The personnel committee met on November 2017 to go over and look at the staffing. In March, we met with the engineering services group, the Wildermuth, and also we met with the legal services of Brownstein, Hyatt, Farber, and Schreck to look at what activities would be required. The four committees there, the Groundwater Recharge Coordinating Committee, Ground Level Monitoring Committee, the Prado Basin Habitat Sustainability Committee, and the Recharge Investigations and Project Committee, those four committees provide input and provide information to the Water Master so that we can build our budget. The budget for fiscal year 2018-19 was previewed at the Water Master at March 27th. One of the different things that we did this year by recommendation of one of the members of the appropriative pool was we actually held a specific workshop on one brand new item. That item was the OBMP update scope and schedule. We had a workshop that just specifically looked at that item. Then later that afternoon, we held our workshop number one. And then finally, we held budget workshop number two on May 1st. And that workshop was to specifically discuss the ag pool monitoring effort, the appropriative pool, and some of the members that were in attendance at the budget workshop number one had asked for more information, so that's what we provided on May 1st. This is a schedule that basically shows the schedule of major water master initiatives. This is for calendar year 2018 through 2020. You can see down here, we're right at May 11th. So if you bring that line up there, you can see that there are some activities that are currently ongoing. The three activities, the 2018 RMPU, the storage framework, and the salt and nutrition management plan update. You can see those all items started all on July 2017. RMPU update is scheduled to run until October 2018, same as with the storage framework. And the other salt and nutrient management is planned to is expected to complete in December 2019. There's three activities that are within the budget for this fiscal year that are scheduled to occur. One, the first, there's State of the Basin report. That is an engineering report that is done every other year. This is the year to have that report done. We're looking to start that July of 2018 and have it completed by May of 2019. The safe yield recalculation, that is scheduled to begin July 2018 and is expected to be completed December 2019. And then the OBMP update, that's scheduled to begin January 2019 and be completed December 2019. And then finally, the OBMP CEQA agreements, you can see that is scheduled to begin in July 2019. So that would be part of the fiscal year 2019-2020 budget. So this basically gives you a good idea. Here again, this is where we're at today. So you can see all of the activities that are currently going on, the activities that we have looking forward into the future. Is there any questions so far?
You're doing well. Any questions? Let's move on, Joe.
Great, thank you. There's three specific activities that are in the budget that were not in our budget for last fiscal year. Those areas, the OBMP effort, there's $267,000 in the budget, partially in engineering, partially in legal. The second item, the 2020 safe yield effort for $520,884. Again, similar to the OBMP effort start, part of that budget is in engineering. The other part is in legal. And then finally, we have the ag production monitoring effort. Both of those items under account 7102.65 and 7102.8 for the total of $357,050. Those three items total about $1.1 million. Those are the three items that were in the budget for this fiscal year that was not last year. On the flip side, we have items that are in that were in last year's budget, the 17-18 budget, that are not in this year's budget. Is about $4 million of items last year's budget that's not in this year's budget. The first item is a Northwest MZ1 extensometer installation under account 7402.10. for about $1.5 million. And then finally, under the accounts 7690s, last year we had $2.8 million, which was budgeted for recharge projects. Okay. This year, because of the SRF funding and other financing efforts, we are not budgeting and did not budget for any recharge projects for this fiscal year. So you total those two items, it's a little over $4 million.
Joe, the 7402 account, have we expended all that money?
We have not. If we, obviously, whatever we have left over at the end of the year will get carried over into next fiscal year.
So it will be a budget item in the next fiscal year if we haven't spent it all. We're just not asking for an additional amount beyond the 1.4.
That is correct. Look at it from the perspective of we had it budgeted this year. We've assessed for that money, so that money is basically sitting in the bank. If we don't spend it all, it gets carried over into next year.
Okay.
And Jeff, we're working with IUA to go to an RFP for a contractor to drill the Pomona extensometer. Okay. Their RFP process will likely take, my guess is, 3 months. So we're probably going to spend June, July, August. We're not going to start building the extensometer until September, and therefore spending this money
right.
September. So it's next fiscal year. So this money, as Joe said, will be carried over. It will be available. But we consider it already. It's already collected.
It's been assessed, yeah. And it's right. There. It will be identified as an expense in the next budget year.
Correct.
Yeah.
It's not part of our. It's not part of the budget that's being approved.
Right.
But similar to what we've done in the past, once we get into July, any carryover from the previous years would be carried over into the budget.
Understood.
So this is a schedule that everyone is used to seeing year to year. Watermaster historically has categorized our expenses into three specific categories of G&A, OBMP, and project expenses. So if we look at the G&A expenses, the expenses projected for this fiscal year under the 2018-19 budget is $2,181,203. The OBMP expenses is scheduled at $2,273,267. And then the project expenses, $4,432,755, for a grand total. The proposed budget, $8,887,225. While Watermaster historically categorizes their expenses into these three items, I prefer to actually look at them also from a different angle. If you notice, if you look at G&A expenses, you really don't get to see the true cost of some of the specific items. So I like to show it under the categories. So if we look at labor and burden, legal services, engineering services, debt service, and then all others, you can clearly see for this upcoming fiscal year budget, the labor and burden, which is categorized under G&A, OBMP, and project expenses, is $1,840,175. The legal services for this fiscal year, or for the upcoming year, is budgeted at $963,028. And you can see how it's allocated towards G&A and OBMP. And there are no legal expenses categorized within the project expenses. Under engineering services, it's $2,929,798. Categorized under OBMP and project expenses, and you can see under G&A there are no engineering services expenses. This classification normally is where we have our debt service and recharge improvement projects. For this fiscal year, we're budgeting only for the debt service, which is $580,585. And then we have all other expenses, so if the items aren't labor, legal, engineering, or debt service, we capture it here. Under the G&A expenses, there's $482,000. That's basically the cost of running the Watermaster office. That's also where we capture the cost for the pools, the appropriate pool, the non-agricultural pool, the ag pool, and board expenses. Under the OBMP, all other, you'll see $135,000. And then finally, project expenses of $1.9 million. The largest item within that project expenses is the recharge basin O&M through IUA, and that's about $1.1 million. We also have the meter maintenance that we talked about a little bit, the ag pool monitoring, the $357,000, that's within this category. Then we've got some other expenses. So when you total that all other miscellaneous, it's $2.5 million. So again, regardless of how you look at it, whether it's classified under categories or classifications, the budget is still $8,887,225.
Joe, you just answered a question I was going to have, but I'm going to have you answer it again anyway. Meter monitoring, all that work that's going to be done on ag, that was 300 what?
$357,050.
Okay. Now, that covers the expenses of field work, reporting, and everything?
It's projected. There's a large number of, well, I don't want to say large. There are some meters out there that are not working. There's some that need to be fixed and redone. One of the challenges that we're having is we are having difficulty, if you can believe this, in this day and age, of finding companies that are willing to come out and actually do the work. So the $357,000, while we have it budgeted, it could be much higher than that.
Yeah, Joe, let's stay on the subject, Ron.
No, I was...
Okay.
Being a smart Alex, raise my hand. I'll do
of
the
course, with development taking place and many changes within the agriculture area, we're losing a lot of wells. Some wells are being capped, et cetera, et cetera. That'll be noted for future review or studies of well metering?
My comment would be yes, but I'm going to look towards our engineer, Andy Malone, to verify that my yes is a correct answer.
Andy, you can mark it down as one of my questions later, or you can answer it right now.
Yeah, sure. As wells are capped or destroyed, that is something that we're always tracking. We and Watermaster staff are tracking and updating our databases.
How do you find out that they're no longer there? Is that something where agriculture is notifying you, or the cities, or the developers?
I think it's mainly when we are out in the field, okay, measure production, measure water levels, collect water quality samples is when we become aware of it.
Theoretically, we've identified all the producers in the ag pool, right,
mm-hmm,
Bob?
Mm-hmm.
So I would assume that we know the locations. We've got field personnel that probably go out and look at, you know, those wells and those meters. So in turn, they will find out when it's taken out of service.
I would add, for the benefit of the discussion, that in some instances, I wouldn't say many, but some instances, we have difficulty accessing a well. We may not be given permission by the tenant or the property owner at the time because they're not aware of Watermaster. And sometimes there's other field circumstances that keep us from getting to a well. So there may be quarterly reads that we don't get because of a well being inaccessible.
Also, on
this item, as Joe mentioned, we put a ballpark estimate of what the effort to install meters that are not there, replace meters that need to be replaced, and calibrate all the meters would cost. That's what that number is.
Are we doing that?
No, not yet. So we're budgeting what we think would be spent, whether this year or next year. But what's the real driver behind it is an effort to understand what meters need to be metered. If some properties are about to be developed and meters and wells are going to go away, there's no point in spending money to put a meter on them.
Sure.
Others, if they're important, we're trying to find a way to work with land use agencies to help us keep a well, even if an area is developed, as a monitoring point for later on. So we're doing all the sort of the planning effort, and we're engaging that in that now and in the coming year. And this is the pot of money that we would use this year, next year, or the year after to actually do anything with meters, sure, that needs to be done.
And Peter and Joe and Mr. Malone, mm-hmm, as more farm ground is becoming available, and that is due to the 565 line, and so a lot of areas, a lot of businesses, dairies, farming have been taken out, farming may come in its place. And so I guess the wild question is, we may have new wells, even though we have old wells going out.
Yeah.
Okay. Are you ready? You ready for me to ask a question on the total budget, or are you going to give us a little more information?
I have some more information.
Let's go.
But this is probably a good time to ask about the total dollar.
Okay, yeah, the total dollars. And that compares. I left my notes. They're nicely in my chair at home. What is this compared to last year's budget?
You're very good, because if you look at the upcoming slide.
Oh, hello.
There it is.
I asked the question at the right time.
We played that very well. Thank you. This slide shows what the approved 2017-2018 budget of $11.8 million. Recall last month we did a budget amendment of $392,000, so the new amended budget for this fiscal year is $12.2 million. The March 27th budget was $8,806,725. The new budget proposed as of today is $8,887,225. The difference between those two numbers is $80,500. That was
amazing.
Between these two is only $80,500. So basically, the difference between the March budget, what we showed the pools, and what we're showing you today, that was $80,500 for an IUA project for the O&M. It's the Army Corps of Engineers permit for a 10-year fee.
Okay.
So if you look at the budget, by comparison, so we're looking at $12.2 million for this fiscal year compared to $8,887,000, so it's about a $3.3 million reduction there. One of the largest items, if you look at the reductions, is, you know, right there, you'll see that we had recharge improvement projects last year of almost $3 million. This year, we have nothing. When we calculate the estimated production, we're looking down at this category here. Last year's production actual was $113,323. So far have 3 months or three quarters of actual. We've got still a couple quarters or a couple months left to actually come up with what the true number is. So we've estimated production at $111,132. When you take the difference dividing the 7.9 from the 11 million or 111,000, that gives us now what our G&A and OBMP per acre foot estimated would be. So if we look, the G&A expense is $17.72, the OBMP and implementation projects $53.72, for the total estimated assessments with this budget, assuming that level of production, is $71.44 compared to what was actually paid in November 2017, $71.63.
Wow. Joe, I've noted it, and I've had meetings with you, but pool members, you need to know we have about $65,000 in special project funding in the budget. So, but that's already in the budget.
For this fiscal year, last year and this year, it's $85,000.
That's right. Pardon me. Yes.
Joe, I've got a real quick question.
Sure.
Where in the top three accounts, is that where you have your reserve set aside? I couldn't find it. I'm just wondering how you allocate the reserve.
You're doing very good. The very next slide shows we planned this very well. Thank you, Jeff. This sheet basically shows what the 2017-18 budget was. This is showing what the 2018-19 proposed budget is. If you look right here, you'll see the operating reserve, the admin reserve at 10%, the OBMP reserve at 15%. So we're projecting for this fiscal upcoming year, fiscal year 2018-19, that our reserve would need to be $1,123,000. Now, with that being said, remember we used almost $400,000 of the reserve for this fiscal year. One of the questions that the appropriated pool had asked is, well, so what does that mean? Are you going to assess us? I won't know where our cash balances are going to be until we close the books for June. So that's going to be in July and August. So when we do the assessments in November, I will have a very good understanding of what our cash balance is. Then at that point, I'll be able to look and determine, well, if I'm supposed to have a reserve of $1.1 million, but I only have $700,000. If I'm expected to have a reserve of $1.1 million, but I only have $700,000, then I have a shortfall there of $500,000 or $600,000 that I'm going to have to put into the assessment package.
Okay.
Right now, it's too early to tell. In all of the years In past, we've not had to assess for the reserve. We've always had that cash available. This is one of the years that we've used a large portion of reserve, so we may not have enough cash available to cover that. So this might be the year that we have to assess for that.
So in fact, you really today only have about $650,000 of reserves?
Correct, yes.
And in the past, we've always been over $1 million.
Yes. Yeah, you can tell this fiscal year, our reserve is $1.1 million. Next year, again, it's $1.1 million. But again, with that $300,000 or $400,000 being used. The approval process yesterday, as I had mentioned, the appropriative pool and the non-agricultural pool approved the budget unanimously. We'll have a vote here in a few minutes for the agricultural pool's recommendation. The advisory committee will see the budget on May 17th. Watermaster Board will see the budget on May 24th. And the action recommended action for today is to recommend the advisory committee approval of the proposed fiscal year 18-19 budget as presented.
Effective when? Effective when they're going to vote on it this month, the advisory board.
The appropriate pool and non-agricultural pool have already recommended approval, so they've already voted today. Or you would be voting on this action, and then the advisory committee will see this budget next week.
Next week was what I wanted to hear. Okay. Question, Joe. I think we've asked you this every year, so nothing has changed. Any outstanding assessments due?
No, everyone is paid.
In full?
Yes.
Great. Good answer. Pete?
On that one slide where you showed recharge, there's no money. Expenditures, there's back two slides back. Do you anticipate any? Right there. Recharge improvements, because RIPCOM?
While we budgeted this 2.8 in fiscal year 17-18, we did not assess for that money because IUA is in the process of getting the SRF loans and financing. SRF. For this fiscal year, we still are looking at it that we don't need to assess money because we're still going to get the financing. So while last year we had a budget number there, we didn't assess for it. This year, we looked at it and said, we don't even need to put a budget number in there because we are not going to assess for it. Correct.
So we didn't expend any funds from the budgeted and assessed category for this last year?
That is correct. And under the recharge improvement projects, correct.
No. Let's be clear. We spent money. There's the San Sylvain project is going full speed. Lower Day projects coming right behind it. What we didn't have to do is assess appropriators for it because we had already assessed money in the past. And for expenses that are coming, we don't think we need to assess them because we think there'll be grants and loans kicking in. But we are spending money on projects.
I understand that, but it's coming from outside sources. Or is it coming
money
from inside the assessments that were previously made?
Assessments previously made.
Yes, as part of the B5 report towards the end, this fiscal year for 17-18, we carried over about $1.1 million, and of that, about $3.8 million was recharge projects. So yes, when we pay the invoices, we're charging that against the carryover funds.
Would that be in there somewhere?
Well, that's
Pete. I didn't hear the question.
With the carryover, where would that show?
Yeah, okay.
No, the carryover shows as part of the B5 report. It doesn't get carried over into our budget. Okay. It's a balance sheet item.
Okay. Joe gives a really good detail on the carryover. If you want to see it, Pete, it's on page 56 of the package.
Okay.
Any other questions of the pool members besides the one I have to ask?
Yeah, so the clarification is that the budget is only for assessable items that you foresee coming up new and carryover from previous assessments will take care of items that were
previously budgeted and have run through fiscal years, subsequent fiscal years.
Correct. And I believe right now, I'm going to go from memory, of that $4.1 million, I believe that we've got about $3.5 million that we still have available. So assuming we pay no further invoices from this point until June 30th, we would be carrying over $3.5
million. That's right.
Before I go to my other questions, I don't want to forget this one. We have available cash for our special fund of the ag pool.
You do. That is always available and shown on the B3 report.
Right.
That is part of the budget, or sorry, part of the packet on page 31.
Correct.
If you look at that, your current fund balance right now is $490,784.
I just wanted you to report it because not all of our members turn to that page and go, oh, look at, we have a private fund.
It's an asset.
It's an asset.
Of the ag pool.
Okay, my last question, yes. Joe, and this one is a new one, at least not from the past, but new. We have a major California event, earthquake, volcano, whatever. Many of us in business have what we call a line of credit. What is the ability of the water master? Peter reports to the board that he needs $6 million in a very, very short period of time. How are you going to get it?
Well, we don't have a line of credit.
You do not?
We do not.
Do we have assets?
If we roll back to about 5 or 6 years ago, one of the things that we were looking at is we went to our bank, Wells Fargo, and some other lending institutions and looked to try to get a $15 or $20 million credit line. Because Watermaster does not own property other than the things, it's near close to impossible to get a loan for that kind of money because we don't have any... We don't have large cash balances, nor do we have assets to apply against that. So if there was an emergency situation and we needed $6 million, we would look to the appropriate pool and the non-agricultural pool.
Okay. This is why I don't like banks. We have a history of budgets and a history of paying. So what you're really saying is if there was a real serious problem, you couldn't get the money.
Correct.
Well, if the water master,
it would have to come from a different source.
But if the water master doesn't have any assets, then what would that money be used for?
I said a catastrophic volcano or earthquake.
I understand that, but how would that affect water master? This body.
Not us. We're fine.
It would affect the users producers.
That's correct.
Okay, I'm just trying to understand your direction of questioning.
The thought is, I need to have a line of credit in case something happens that I didn't calculate. We don't have the reserves we have or not. We should have a year and a half of reserves, like our church. We have a reserve of a year and a half.
If I may, it might help to think of it this way. I think for Watermaster, if you think of Watermaster as an extension of the court, what happens in real life to real assets doesn't affect Watermaster in the same way.
Period. Okay.
The occasions, the occasions that we might have were all of a sudden a big lump sum of cash is needed, to me, are more in line of, here's a great opportunity to buy some water that's available. And if that were the case, the mechanism that Joe described is what we would rely on, where we would work through the pools, maybe have a special pool meeting or two. If everybody agrees, we'd have a special assessment. Joe can turn that around in a few days, and we could collect money from those that would pay for and benefit from something like that in a very short time.
And we've done that in the past.
Not well, but we've done it in the past. And as a result, we looked for a line of credit, and we were told, no, you can't have one, which is understandable. I think from the bank's perspective, they look at us, they don't see the direct, not only there's no assets as a collateral, but there's also no clear way to them. I mean, it's clear to us, but it's no clear to them that they could collect from Watermaster, because Watermaster has no assets. And our reserves, I believe, were the subject of fairly heated debates in the past. And so the percentages that we have, the 10% and 15% of reserves, are pretty well set, and Joe does a great job managing to make sure that those reserves are there. But those are used to cover us on a year-to-year basis if and when things go a little over what we estimate at the beginning of the year. And that's working well so far.
I'm just, Jeff, why I asked the question.
I know. I'm being rhetorical.
I know you were. That's why I'm coming after you. But what I'm really saying, Peter, is that it could be appropriate for us to have a year of reserves. Now, would the court say that is out of step with the peace agreements, or out of step with the operations of the Watermaster? Let's say you had a reserve account of $5 million. What problems or issues would that cause?
I can't speculate what the court would say. My experience is that we've had no trouble passing a budget, assessing for it, and collecting for it with a reserve that's worked for us in the past. The challenge would be answering the question, well, what do you need more money? Why would you want to have
it? Why would you have it?
Why would you have it? And if you were, for example, step into the shoes of a city, an appropriator city, say Ontario, right? If we had $5 million in reserve, Ontario would likely pitch in 20% of that. So why would Ontario want to take $1 million of their money and park it here just in case something happens?
Because we're nice guys. Okay.
Right. So, I mean, that's the challenge we'd have to work through, when, in fact, to me at least, they've shown a willingness every step of the way to say, well, if you need to fund something, okay, we'll approve it and we'll fund it. Justified, but we'll approve it and fund it. Why should we park our money with you?
I'm not being funny, but I was sitting in my chair, and I was going through this to review your outstanding report. Very well done, by the way. And there on TV was the lava running down, and the house is burning, and the car is burning, and and so on and so forth. And I'm going, my God, if we had something catastrophic, what in the hell would we do? Because let's say all the appropriators had major damages to their facility.
Mm-hmm.
Is there money available to do what needs to be done?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, they should be insured to protect their physical assets.
Sure.
You know, that's why, I mean, Peter said it, we're the arm of a court. We do not have any assets.
Right.
We administer, you know, rules and regulations in a basin that pumpers. You as an individual, if your well was tweaked and you couldn't pump water out of it, you'd have to fix it. It wouldn't be our responsibility. So, you know, and I remember the battle trying to get 10 and 15%. They were, you know, the people that were paying were saying, why in the hell should I put my money over there when I can use it better? And if Joe can assess me for an emergency, then you'll get it within 30 days, maybe.
Yeah. 60 at the most.
Yeah.
You know, but, and then we'd have reserves to tide us over between now and then. So yeah.
But our reserves only cover, you know, legal.
Administrative.
And engineering, pretty much.
Right.
And salaries of Watermaster.
Yeah. Though, Jeff, you might remember when you and I both had dark hair.
That's been too long ago.
I was younger and meaner.
You were really mean.
And we gave away 82.8 to the Watermaster and in control of a pool, rather than taking those assets. So my arguments in those days, Peter, would be, we do have assets. The thing is, we can't sell them.
Yeah.
They're not tangible, even though they are tangible. So that was my...
Yep.
I haven't got over that. It's only been 40 years, and I'm still not over it.
I certainly think the perspective of risk assessment that you're presenting is a good way to think about what could affect water master.
That was my thinking.
Yeah.
Okay, any other questions of Joe? Joe, do you have any more to add to your report?
No, sir.
The chair will give you a 10. Congratulations on this. Well done. I noticed you picked up some really neat things to move arrows and all that.
I'm trying to make it exciting.
Yeah, you okay, thank you so much, Joe.
Motion to approve.
We have a motion to approve. Do we have a second?
Second.
Second by?
Henry.
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 DeHaan. Have it. Anna. Okay.
Anna.
I'll call for the question. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All same sign. Thank you all. With that, we're going to go into closed session. We shouldn't be too long. This is strange. This is, thank God it's Friday. But we need to go into closed session, so we'll call you back soon.
Thank you.
Yes, I'm going to.
All right, let's go.
We're going to call the meeting back to order again. The state of California, Maryland, and crew, Ron and others, thank you for preparing for this on a day that's not our regular day. Much appreciated. Tracy?
Our closed session ended without any reportable action. Thank you. Now we go to...
Preemptive. Peter?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, members of the Ag Pool, good afternoon. What we have is an item on preemptive replenishment agreements with among Water Master and 9 appropriators. The 9 appropriators listed in the staff report asked Water Master for this agreement, and they asked to preemptively have water taken out of their stored water accounts and dedicated to the desalter replenishment obligation assessment that will be coming in the future. And the comments they made at the pool meeting yesterday was that they are, in effect, recognizing their obligation, which they haven't been assessed for yet. They're paying in advance in good faith and making a firm commitment to their obligation. So they're hoping that the other two pools would see it that way and would recommend that the advisory committee approves this contract. What you see in the staff report is an attachment, a generic contract. This would be custom made to each individual of the appropriators to express the volume of water that they each requested. We were asked to make one change in the language of the agreement by the appropriative pool to change the language that had been used in the 2011 agreements that stated material physical harm to change it to material physical injury. So we're presenting it to you with that recommended change, as we did to the other two pools. Both pools recommended advisory committee approval for this. And if it moves on and gets board approval, we would ask also for a GM authority to execute the agreements, and we'll get those signed and done.
Thank you. Chair Feenstra, on behalf of the pool, I have 2 questions and would like to preface the questions with a comment that the pool very much supports this positive action and is very pleased to see it on the agenda, and thanks Water Master staff and legal counsel for the work in bringing it today. The first question is that the pool is assuming that in the event there is a call on the replenishment obligations, that these parties will use this water first. Is that your assumption as well?
Yes, and we believe that's the case, because when we get to assessing for desalter replenishment obligation, the amount owed right now, even under the best of circumstances, which would be the term sheet, is over 90,000 acre feet. So this 30,000 that they're committing right now would be gone first and gone quickly, and then there'll be much more that they would have to pay back.
All right, thank you. The pool also very much supports the change in the term from material physical harm to material physical injury, so we appreciate that change. And the last question is, when other parties, should other parties choose to use this agreement, will those subsequent agreements and come back to the pool? And closely related, if one of the parties on this current list chooses to put additional amounts into these agreements, will that also come back to the pools as well?
Yes, it would be treated the exact same way. We actually had that question from appropriators yesterday who are not part of this group. They asked what would the process be for them, and we gave them the same answer as we're giving you today's. They would have to come back with the same agreement to move whatever water they wanted to preemptively.
Thank you very much.
Any discussion by the pool? A motion is in order to approve.
Mr. Chairman, I move that with the questions answered from our pool attorney, that we recommend advisory committee to take this on and approve it for board approval.
Is there a support?
Support.
Support John Heising. Motion made by Jeff Pearson. Any questions, comments? Seeing none, I'll call for the question. All in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion. Thank you, Peter.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
The next item would be old business.
Mr. Chairman, we're not aware of any item that we owe you any information or a follow-up with.
I'm sorry, Tracy. My mind is somewhere else. Peter. There have some concerns that have come to our attention where that members of the appropriation group, such as the City of Ontario or maybe even the City of Chino, in the case of a Christian school in the City of Ontario, it has been brought to my attention that the city wishes to cap the well that supplies water, which it has done for 60 years, to the football field and to the soccer fields and to the baseball fields, et cetera, et cetera. The city wishes, I'm told, to cap that well and require the school to purchase that water from the city. We have some concerns about that. We think it's not appropriate for the city to do that. In fact, we might, what was the word we used, Jeff, in for condemnation?
Correct.
So, Peter, that's something we want to discuss with you, if not now, at a later time, how we could address that and what how it fits in with the peace agreements or any other regs we have on the book.
It sounds good. I think it would be best if we discuss it at a later time. Give us a chance to understand this and prepare a little bit. We'll bring it back to a future agenda after we meet with you and maybe Tracy. And
as chairman, I would request then that when you and I have an opportunity, we can chat about this before you take any actions on our request. Also, we have a concern that when property has been sold within the jurisdiction of the ag pool, generally, not generally, a land use conversion of 2 acres for every acre sold is that's why my mouth is full. we understand, Jeff
Director Jeff Person brought up a different thought, but we understand that that water is that 2 acre foot of water, once the property sale has been completed, they are doing the all the required changes to for infrastructure, et cetera, et cetera. That the water is then assigned to the city, and the city is not supplying water for 2-3 years to that property. There are concerns that they could be using that water for other uses. Last but not least, we have some long-term concerns about property that is not being used for agriculture anymore, but there may be some trucks on the property, or there may be some other uses on that property. And the city is requiring that the dairymen hook up to city water when there is no city water. There are no delivery systems. And we're saying that the property owner should be able to continue to use the water for homes, for business, for fire flow, et cetera. Peter, that's just something we want to discuss with you, and how can we best approach that with the cities that are involved?
Very well. Okay? Yep, understood.
Anything else? We'll go to the next item. Thank you, Peter. The next one is legal. Brad.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair, members of the pool committee. A couple brief updates. First, on the appeal of the court's April 28, 2017 order, since the last time of the pool committee meetings, the Court of Appeal issued an order that was in response to the filing by the parties to the appeal as to their status in settlement negotiations. And the court's order directed that the stay on the appeal remain in full force and effect, and directed appellants to file either a request for dismissal of the appeal or a further status update on their settlement negotiations by July 16th. In regard to the ag pools motion to be considered a respondent in the appeal, the court denied that without prejudice to the motion being raised at the time that the appeal is no longer stayed and actually proceeds. On the court hearing on the Watermaster's 40th annual report, you'll notice that the date on that has changed once again. We were contacted at the end of last month by Judge Reichert's clerk, who indicated that the judge was no longer available on May 25th. And rescheduled the hearing to June 22nd, which is a Friday afternoon, 1:30 p.m. And Watermaster provided notice on April 24th of that new date. Since the last time that that you all met in this committee, Peter and I had a meeting with representatives from the pool to talk about the stated concerns from last month about having live testimony, and we hope to continue working with you as we get closer to the hearing date.
Fine. Anything else to report on?
No, sir.
Any questions of Mr. Harriman? Marilyn.
On the status report going to the court or dismissal, do you have any information regarding the status of the...
You're right.
Settlement agreement that the parties have claimed that they're going to be giving to all of us and the court?
No, I do not.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Brad, for the report.
Thank you.
GM report. Oh, wait a minute.
Engineering.
Oh, I passed the most important man.
Hurt Andy's feelings.
I'll take Pardon over me. Now.
Mr. Malone.
Good afternoon. Just a couple quick items here, too, with regard to our efforts to develop a storage framework. There is the next workshop is next Tuesday, 9 a.m. here at Watermaster. We'll be discussing our model scenarios 3 and 4.
Oh my God.
All right. We'll be discussing our model scenarios 3 and 4, some of the results from that. As you recall, model scenario 1 was a simulation in the future of how the parties would manage their local storage accounts. Scenario 2 was looking at 100,000 acre foot storage program on top of that. And scenarios 3 and 4 are looking at the next 200,000 acre feet of storage programs in 100,000 acre foot operational storage bands. So we'll be discussing that and the new facilities that might be required to pull off storage programs of that magnitude. And again, that's next Tuesday at 9 a.m. here at Watermaster. On the 2018 update to the Recharge Master Plan, as you probably know, we are having monthly steering committee meetings that occur after the advisory committee meetings. What we're doing is we're preparing the report in draft sections, releasing those sections prior to those meetings, reviewing those sections at the meetings, asking for comments. At next week's meeting, after the advisory committee meeting, we'll be discussing some of the comments we've received back from the parties on sections 1 through 3, and then discussing the next section, section 4, that will be released prior to that meeting. So that's next Thursday after the advisory committee. 2 days ago, here at Watermaster, we held a Prado Basin Habitat Sustainability Committee meeting. And at that meeting, we have published a draft annual report. It's the second annual report for this monitoring program. That report is on Watermaster's website, as well as the presentation that we made at the meeting. It was about a 2-hour meeting, very well attended, and we discussed the second annual report. It's in draft format, and so if you're so inclined, you can read it and submit comments or any suggested revisions to us. We're asking for comments back by May 23rd. I'm going to give you just an executive summary of what is in that annual report.
Please.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, so as you might recall, this is a monitoring and mitigation requirement for the PEACE 2 SEIR. And PEACE 2, the main components of that are basin reop and the expansion of the desalters to achieve hydraulic control. And the concern was that we may be lowering groundwater levels in the southern end of the basin and adversely impacting the riparian habitat that is dependent on the shallow groundwater down in Prado Basin. So we have a monitoring and mitigation program that includes annual reporting. Again, this is the second annual report. And our monitoring program is essentially monitoring the riparian habitat and looking for changes in it, and then monitoring all the factors that could potentially impact the riparian habitat, specifically groundwater levels, but also other factors that might not be related to PEACE 2, like surface water discharge, climate, temperature, pests. So our main conclusion in this annual report is the same main conclusion we had in the first annual report, that we're not seeing any degradation in the riparian habitat that's contemporaneous with the implementation of PEACE 2. However, over the last 2 years, from 2015 to 2016 to 2017, we're looking at our remote sensing data. This is one of the main methods we're using to analyze the riparian habitat, and we're noticing a small declining trend in that remote sensing data. We don't believe that it is statistically significant just yet, but it's something to note. And we believe it's a justification for continuing the monitoring program. And that's essentially your executive summary for the annual report.
Is this taking place at the periphery of the study area or throughout the study area?
Pretty much throughout. Not in every single spot that we're doing this analysis, but pretty much throughout.
Even with the amount of water that Orange County manages that comes through that area, we're having degradation of the environment.
Well, we don't, we don't think that this downtick is significantly, statistically significant just yet.
Okay.
We're seeing that it is going down over the last 2 years, but we've seen this same variation in the recent past through all of our historical data, which that remote sensing data dates back to the early 1980s.
So could this be attributed to climate change?
What we are noting in our monitoring program is that the amount of surface water that's coming down Mill Creek, Chino Creek, the Santa Ana River, has been declining over time, mainly because IUA and the other POTWs in the watersheds are doing a really good job of recycling.
Conservation.
Are you aware of the flow study that the State Board is undertaking about in the LA region for declining flow and the impact to the habitat? You might want to check in with the State Board on this, because they might come out with a policy, so you might want to track it and just check. Okay. John Bishop's running it. I think SCORP is doing the research. Just FYI, because the additional use of reclaimed water is affecting habitat, and the State Board might want to do something about it. So you might want to have discussions with them and communications about what to do and what not to do.
Thank you.
Okay. Sorry.
That's all right. That's one factor. There's other factors. We have a lot of temperature data, and we are seeing a warming trend in the temperature data. We do have an invasive beetle that's in the area too, mm-hmm. and that appears to be widespread. Mm-hmm. There is one other factor that I wanted to note. We're in the midst of a long-term drought.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So there are a number of factors that could potentially adversely impact the riparian habitat, if it is indeed being adversely impacted. But we aren't there quite yet. But we think that it's a good idea to continue with the monitoring program. So we're just 2 years into it. So that's your executive summary. The last bit of my report here on reporting is that the maximum benefit annual report, which is a regional board requirement, was submitted to the regional board before its April 15th deadline. So with that, I'm happy to answer any questions.
Members? Rick?
You guys are going to do a report on the storage framework. That was going to be in May, right? Is that right?
Yeah, that is. Storage framework workshop is next week, right. Next Tuesday at 9 a.m. here.
Right, but there is a report that's going to come out of that. I thought you guys were working on that, or no?
Yes, there will be a final technical memorandum on it.
But
yes.
No date anticipated for that draft?
We were targeting October time frame, right around then, to be wrapping this up. I would think that Mark's not here to back me up on this, but I would think that we would have drafts out prior to that.
Rick, is that a problem or?
No, I thought it was coming out sooner, but I was mistaken.
Mr. Malone.
Yes.
Are you responsible for any sampling or testing of water quality throughout the lower basin?
Yes.
There has been comments made recently that who's testing the water in the agricultural lower basin? Can that water be used for fire flow? Could that water be used for other than just agriculture, animals drinking, blah, blah. In other words, homes are hooked up, people are drinking water, showering, so on and so forth. Is there any information that you have that would lead you to be concerned about the quality of the water for people use?
For drinking water?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, in the southern end of the basin, typically, this would be a well-by-well situation. But typically in the southern end of the basin, the nitrates are too high for drinking water purposes, just without treatment.
How far south?
Below the 60 freeway.
Mr. Chairman, are you referring to water quality from agricultural wells or in the district?
Agricultural well.
Mm-hmm. So
agriculture and domestic wells, as we call them.
Yeah. But we do have a fairly detailed section on water quality in our State of the Basin report, and we'll be happy to bring a presentation to your pool that shows all that information.
Very important, and I'd like to make sure that I pre-announce that meeting, Peter, so that I have people in the audience that need to hear.
Sure.
Because, you know, many think that that water is contaminated, and I'm not sure it is.
Mm-hmm. Well, we do, as Andy said, we do collect water quality information. We use that to create maps that show concentrations and so on. We're happy to share the overall map or detailed information on any one specific well if anyone has a concern.
The map is not so important. Yes, it'll give locations that are better than others. I want to know if there is a serious water drinking issue quality-wise in any area of the ag pool where homes and
sure
prisons
other than nitrates or
no
included.
Nitrates or no our contamination
sure
no.
We can probably use HydroDave in a live demonstration and just go to wells that exceed drinking level standards and show you that.
Now you're drinking water right now, Pete, comes from the city.
Yeah, we pump our own.
Yes, then it is important.
But we
you filter it.
Yeah, we have
you have a filtering station. Okay, very good. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Let's go on with the agenda. Joe, do you have anything to add?
No, sir.
Money's in the bank?
Yes, sir.
All
he was
right.
Supposed to be gone, but
Peter, I'm so excited that you don't have much of a report. It says other.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I was going to report on the progress of the Pomona extensometer, which I did earlier when we were discussing the budget. Brief report on SGMA. We did have meetings with the Department of Water Resources as well as State Water Resources Control Board. We're continuing to tend to the issue of how does SGMA apply to adjudicated basins. And the last on my other report was a big thank you to the Ag Pool. Our team for Climb for Heroes is the fifth highest in terms of contributing money to that charity, and we're very excited about that. And we thank everyone.
Are you still in need?
Would always accept more contributions.
Are you still in need?
The Ag Pool more than appropriately contributed.
Thank you, Ray. Yes, I'm aware of that. I'm very grateful.
Yes.
Okay, let's go on. any questions of Peter? Hearing none. You have your information packets. Great reading in a chair at home if you're not sleeping. pool discussion. The chairman has no updates except what I've announced today. I'm very grateful to my vice chairman for reviewing things with me and keeping me focused on at least his thoughts that differ with mine from time to time. So that's happened to others on this pool. Also, Tracy, for your outstanding work. Really appreciate it. I hope you enjoy your vacation.
Thank you.
Other business, do we have any? With that, the meeting stands adjourned. Thank you all.